Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we just want to look briefly at a subject really dealing with trials and that kind of thing. We want to think about trials and problems that come into our lives, and we all have them. We all have various situations and circumstances, and we're just going to look at that this morning. Then as you fill out these things and hand them to me in the next week or two, we'll begin one of these studies, or even something that you've put down or enough people put down, we'll do that. Why do we have trials? And how are we supposed to respond to all of this? It's an important subject because this is where we live. We have them every day in our lives. We're going to have ups and downs and trials. What we want to do is have an understanding from God's word, the truth about this sort of thing. And so we raise the question, why do we have trials and how are we to respond? So there's a lot there. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to get to come together with fellow believers. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the fact that he is the Son of God, that he came to the earth to take our place, to be our substitute, to die on the cross, to be our sacrifice, that he died in our place, taking our sins upon himself, that he was buried and rose again, and that whoever will believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, that we trust in Jesus for eternal life. It is by grace that we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's your gift to us. Lord, we ask you that as we look at the book of James, as we look at this little section dealing with chapter 1 about trials and issues, Lord, we just want to understand it. We want to know why trials come in our lives, and we want to know how we're to respond to them. And Lord, as we start another year, we want our lives to count for you. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's here in our class and in our church. And Lord, may we bring glory to you in all that we do. We ask you, Lord, teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was about 13 years ago that I work out all the time. At least I worked out even more then. And I worked out one morning, and then at about 6:30 that evening, I noticed that my neck began to hurt right there. And it kept hurting, and it got worse and worse. And by the next morning, I couldn't raise my neck, and I couldn't move my arm very far, and it just got worse, and it was down, and things were going numb and all this stuff. So I went to a doctor, and he said, I think you'd messed up something. And yeah, I said, yeah, I think so. And then I went to an orthopedic surgeon, and then finally I went to a neurosurgeon, and what they found out is I ruptured these two discs in my neck, like right here. And he said, they're never going to heal, not completely anyway. He said, now what we could do, he was the kind of surgeon that said, I don't really like to operate, especially this high up. He said, because if you ever mess up here, you're really paralyzed, because this is like the third one down, third and fourth one. He said, so let's just see if it'll get better. So 9 months went by, and in 9 months it got to about where it is now. And I'm in good shape compared to what it was at that time. I can't turn my neck very far, but I didn't ever have to have surgery. And the doctor said, you can't play volleyball anymore, you can't run anymore, you can't play sports like that, but I can work out and I can do Stairmaster. Doesn't move your neck at all, you know, and so I'm in pretty good shape. And so, but the question you could raise, and the question I even raised then, I said, well, why did that happen? I'm usually really careful. They think somehow, during some exercise, I just did something wrong, and, you know, and that's why I say, why did that happen? And see, that's what happens a lot of times when an event happens in our lives, we go, why me? Why now? As we look at our passage this morning, we're going to talk about that sort of thing. What about your life? I bet you right now that there's some of you that in the last time or not too long from now, you're going to go out and you're going to go and the battery's dead, or you go to the library and you can't find the books that you need, or you've got pressure at work and there's two projects to go and the children won't stop crying and somebody's just gone to the hospital and then you got to have tests. And I mean, just everything is going on and you want to say, why? And so there's two questions we want to look at this morning. Why do we have trials and how do we respond? That's really the questions. Why do we have them and how do we respond? James chapter 1 gives us the answer to both. Now, people always say, well, you don't know why God brings things into your life. James tells us why. And we'll see that. And he tells us what we're to do as well. As we begin, let me remind you of our position in Christ. The great truth is that in God's word is that salvation is a gift. It's not by our works or goodness. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not what we do, but what Jesus Christ has already done. And when we believe in him as our Savior, he gives us eternal life. We realize that when we trust Jesus Christ, that we're changed. We become children of God. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. We have eternal life. John 10:28, I give you eternal life and you shall never perish. We are a new person on the inside. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new person. So what's this Christian life supposed to be like now that we're a new person in Christ? Well, there are some who teach that when you become a Christian, everything's going to be great. I mean, you know, it's just going to be smooth. And really, there won't be a whole lot of trials or problems, especially if you're doing what you're supposed to do. And everything will be smooth and all of this. And you'll have harmony and everything. Well, we find this is not really the message of the Bible. The Bible doesn't say when you become a Christian, everything's going to smooth out. You won't have any problems. In fact, you were with this fallen world. And when you become a Christian, you're going contrary to the fallen world. And you may have more trials and problems and ups and downs. And so how do we deal with the trials in life? There's no doubt that if we took the time and said, okay, look, let's just go down the room. You stand up, you got 15 seconds, tell what's going on in your life that's a trial or a problem. Every one of us in this room would stand up and say, well, I have this or this or this or this or this. It's true. But how do we deal with that? James chapter 1 answers the two questions that we have up there. Why do we have trials and how do we respond? And we're only going to look at James chapter 1, about verses 2, 3, 4, and 5, those verses. And as I said, the question we almost always ask when something goes wrong, when there's a trial, when there's a problem, when there's an up, when there's a down, when all these things, we always say, why? Well, I want you to see the answer here. And he gives it to us. Let's think about it for just a second before we get into the book. James is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. He was the pastor, best we can tell, pastor of the church in Jerusalem. He's writing to Jewish believers. In fact, if you look at James chapter 1, verse 1, it says, James, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who were dispersed abroad, greetings. He's writing to Jewish believers who were scattered. Now, Jewish believers who were scattered in the first century, they were scattered for a reason. Persecution. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with problems or trials? There may be some of you that because of your stand for Jesus Christ in your school, in your house, in your neighborhood, in your job, in your family, people are against you because you believe in Jesus and you tell people you believe in Jesus. How do you respond? How do we respond? Why do we have the trials and the problems? Well, let me look at something with me. Look at verse 2. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Why? Well, knowing that the test of your faith produces endurance, so let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, those verses tell us the answer to those two things. Why do we have trials? And how are we to respond to those? Well, I want you to see, first of all, that verses 2 and 3, actually verses 2, 3, and 4 tell us why we have trials. Notice verse 2 again. Consider it all joy, my brother, when you fall into various trials. Now, you're going to have them. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces endurance, let endurance have its perfect results, so that let the trial do what it's supposed to do, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I think I've got an overhead that says there are two reasons for the trials. One is so that we'll trust God, and number two, so that we'll grow and mature as a Christian. Now, you realize that the next time a trial comes into your life and you want to say, why me, God? Stop and say, okay, I know why. So I'm supposed to trust you, and it's going to help me grow as a Christian. Now, we would all like to say to God, could you have figured out maybe a different way for us to grow than the trial part, right? Could you just do something different? But no, he said, no, this is the way it's going to work. So look how James starts it off in verse 2. And we want to see this idea of why we have trials. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, I want you to notice, we're going to come back to this consider it all joy in just a minute. But he says, when you have various trials. Notice he didn't say, if you have trials. He didn't say, consider it all joy if you have a trial in your life. There's no if to this. You will. There will be. We live in a fallen world. There are going to be ups and downs. There are going to be things that are coming to our life that we go, I don't like that at all. So he says, count it joy when you encounter various trials. Why? Here's the first reason it causes us to trust God. Notice, knowing, we could almost put it this way, this you know, that the testing of your faith produces endurance. He says the testing of your faith, and the Greek word for testing there means test for approval. When God allows these trials to come into your life, now I want you to understand something. There's no such thing out there that this stuff happened and God went, oh my gracious, I didn't know that was going to happen. God is in control of everything. He's the sovereign ruler of all things. There's nothing ever that comes in your life that hadn't already passed through Him in a sense. And so when a trial comes into your life, understand, first of all, that is the testing of your faith, the testing for approval, basically. The testing of your faith produces, literally works out, and he says, endurance. Endurance literally means patience. It means to trust. The idea there is that when a trial comes in your life, what God wants you to do is say, I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust you because I know you're the sovereign ruler of all things, and you would never allow anything to come into my life that ultimately won't be for my good. Because remember Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. All things work. He didn't say all things were good. He said all things will ultimately work together for good. So when we have to trust him when it happens. Now, this word is pretty neat when he says, knowing that the testing of faith produces endurance. That word endurance means to remain under the load. It's like you're holding something on your shoulder. You got this big thing and you're saying, man, this is getting heavy. I don't know if I can keep going. He said, yeah, you got to keep going. Just keep hanging on. Hold on to that. He says it causes you to trust God. Trials cause you to trust God. I mean, let's face it, when everything's perfect, sometimes we don't even think about God. I mean, that's not the way it's supposed to be. But when life is just rolling along, you're going, this is great. And then when things go wrong, we begin to go, oh, God, what's happened? And sometimes God says, you know, I was here before that happened. And so the trials that come into our life produce, cause us, or supposed to cause us, to trust Him. That's one of the plans. So when a trial comes in your life, one of the reasons that it happens, and you can say, why would you allow this to happen? The answer is so that you'll trust God. Now, there's a second thing. Notice what he goes on to say. And let endurance have its perfect result. Let the trial do what it's supposed to do. Let your trust in God do what it's supposed to do so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We could say it this way. Let the trials do what they're supposed to do so that you can mature as a Christian. So that you can grow as a Christian. Now, he uses two words there. He says, so that you may be perfect and complete. The word perfect means fully developed. You know what the plan is. The plan is when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're a baby. And the Bible says, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word so you may grow by it. You're a baby. And then you're in a process of growth. Now, some people don't grow very much. Some people hardly ever grow. Some people grow and they're on that process to maturity. And so he says, listen, one of the reasons when the trials come in your life, it's going to cause you to trust me. And as you trust me, it's going to cause you to grow and mature. And notice how he says it. He says, so that you may be perfect. Now, the word perfect, when you see it, we're not using the word like no errors or anything like that. It's the word that means developed. Developed. Like a flower. Sometimes you go out and you say, oh, this one, it hadn't budded yet. It hadn't done this thing. And then it gets out there and you say, oh, look at that. It's perfect. It's fully developed. The plan is to develop us to be like Jesus Christ. You know the plan. The plan is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's the plan. So he says, when a trial comes, let the endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect. And then he says, complete, lacking in nothing. The word complete means having all the parts. Have you ever had a puzzle and then there was something missing and you're going, where is that? And there's like one thing left. And then, of course, you look under the table and there it is because it fell off while you were playing doing the puzzle. But when you get it, you put that piece in there and you say, now it's complete. He's saying that trials come in your life to, first of all, to make you develop to be more like Christ and to complete you. Because in our lives, when you begin growing as a Christian, we would say, I'm not very developed and I'm not very complete. And he says, listen, I know. And so my plan is to allow events to come into your life so you will trust me. And as you trust me, you're going to grow. And as you grow, you're going to be developed to be more and more like me, and you're going to be complete. That's the plan. Now, we don't necessarily like it. You might say, oh, I don't really like it, but that's the plan. You know what? By a trial in your life, God either wants to develop something in you, that's to make you perfect, or to add something in your life, that's to make you complete. You can all look back on your life, on the times that you went through some trials, and you say, I didn't like it, but I really grew from it. The purpose of trials is to make us mature, to be like Christ. So why would God bring trials into our life? So we would trust Him, so we'd remain under the load, so that we would do what, you know, we'd say, God, I don't understand it, but I trust You because You'll never make a mistake. And everything You bring into my life is ultimately for my good, so I got to trust You. And as I respond to this, and we're going to see in a little bit how we respond, I'm going to grow as a Christian. I'm going to become more like Christ, and I'm going to be a complete person, and I'm going to grow to be like Christ. So when the trials come, from now on, when a trial comes in your life, you don't have to say, I wonder why God's doing this. Why would God let this happen to me now? The answer is, because He wants you to trust Him and He wants you to grow. But then there's the second aspect, and that is, how do we respond? How should we respond when these trials come in our lives? I think I've got an overhead that says, how do we respond when trials come in our life? Three things. Verse 2, he says, count it joy. Verse 4 says, let patience have its perfect work, basically. And verse 5 says, ask for wisdom. So the big three, count it joy, let patience do what it's supposed to do, or let the trial and trusting God do what it's supposed to do, and then ask for wisdom. So let's look at those three things for a second. Go back to verse 2, and we've already seen that when a trial comes in our lives, the question, if we ask why, the answer is, so we will trust Him and we will grow. Now the question is, what? What do we do? How do we respond? He says, first of all, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, that's not usually the response, is it? Joy? Yay! Flat tire. This was great. That's great. I was wanting a flat tire. I was wanting a ruptured disc. I was wanting that this broke. I was wanting that I didn't get into this thing. I was wanting this. No. What he says is, he doesn't say, hey, I'm really happy for the trial. It's joy in the trial. Because see, nobody says, oh, I wanted a flat tire. I wanted three papers due at one time. No. Our usual response to trials is complaint. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? Yes, yes. Why would God do this? So you'll trust Him and grow. So how do you respond? Count it all joy. Now, I think it's a hard thing to do. I think maturing as a believer is a hard thing to do. When people say, can you believe they act that way? I'd say, sure. That's how we all act. We're all babies. We're all young. We're all growing. We're all in a process. Nobody ever arrives. Nobody's so mature that they say, hey, I've got it made. Even Paul said, I'm not arrived. I'm striving toward the mark. So when we look at our lives, if you see a believer and they're not measuring up to your standards, just realize you're not measuring up to somebody else's standards. We ought to look at each other and go, well, we're all in that process. That's where we are. Count it all joy. We can have joy. Now, happiness and joy are two different things. I got to go to the Alamo Bowl, and I did not have a lot of happiness at that game. But I still have the joy of the Lord. And see, joy goes back to our relationship with God and trusting in Him and counting it joy. Happiness is always in circumstances. And so there's always going to be some times of happiness and some times of sadness. But He says when a trial comes in your life, you can still have the joy. Count it all joy. Then there's a second thing. Let patience have its perfect work. Look at verse 4. It says, and let endurance, let patience, let endurance, let it do its perfect work. Remember, perfect result, because the plan is you're going to be perfect in result and complete, lacking in nothing. Let it do what it's supposed to do. Trials have a purpose, and they're supposed to work in our lives. Now, what we do is supposed to respond to God in the right way. We're supposed to trust Him. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to count it all joy. We're supposed to let the trial do what it's supposed to do. You remember when Job went through all that? Now, his wife did not want him to respond the way that he should. She said, why don't you curse God and die? And he said, shall we receive good from God and not also evil? Meaning, he said, sometimes God allows good to come in my life. Sometimes God allows trials to come in my life. I have to trust Him in both. And so when a trial comes, how do we respond? We count it joy. Do we let the trial do what it's supposed to do? You know, sometimes in people's lives, and they've been in churches, and something's gone wrong, and they walk right out of the church and said, I'll never go to church again. I'm not going to have anything to do with church. If that's the way these people are going to act, that's not how you respond. Sometimes when trials come into people's life, they say, if that's the way God's going to be, I'm not having anything to do with God. That's not how you respond. He says, count it joy when the trials come. And he said, let the trial do what it's supposed to do. This is a famous little story that I'm sure some of you have heard, but I remember reading it and I thought, man, that really hits home. This little boy saw this cocoon, and he noticed that as he looked at it, you know, little guys, he started looking at it, and all of a sudden he could see that there was a butterfly in there and all these little things were moving, and he could see that little cocoon thing was opening up. And that butterfly was just fighting to get out, you know. He could say, there's a butterfly going to come out of that cocoon. And he thought, I'm going to help the butterfly. So he went back to the house and he got this little knife and he came back and he said, I'm going to cut open that cocoon, help that guy get out, you know. And he did. And of course, then the butterfly got out a lot easier. And then he noticed that the butterfly kind of, and then just kind of just wilted over. And so he went to school the next day, and he went to a science teacher. And he said, I saw this butterfly thing. It was in this cocoon, and it was just struggling to get out. So I cut the thing open, and then the butterfly didn't do anything. And the teacher said, yeah, well, you shouldn't have cut that open. See, part of the thing that gives the butterfly the strength to survive is that he gets all that strength fighting to get out, and he needs that struggle to develop his wings and his legs and all that so he can fly. And see, when you cut that open, you short-circuited it. And see, when God brings trials in our lives, as we grow and trust Him, it's a sense we're getting stronger. We're learning to develop. And if we short-circuit the process and say, I may have everything, that's it, I quit, we're not going to ever grow. When we turn away from God in a trial, when we don't trust Him, when we don't count it all joy, when we don't let the trial do what it's supposed to do, we short-circuit the process. And we're not going to grow or mature. But there's a third thing. Ask for wisdom. See, a lot of people say, why? No, the answer to the question is not why, because we already know the answer to why. Why do we have trials? Because He wants us to trust Him and He wants us to grow. The question is really, what? What do you want me to learn from this? And so when the trial comes, the third thing you can do, besides counting it joy, besides letting the trial do what it's supposed to do, is you ask God for wisdom. Notice what it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now you go to the Word of God, that's where you get it. You say, God, help me figure out, what do you want me to learn from this? So the question is not why, because we already know the answer. Why? The question may be, what? What do you want me to learn? Why have you've allowed this to come into my life, and I know it, so I'll trust you and so I'll grow, and I'm supposed to count it all joy, I'm supposed to let the trial do what it's supposed to do. But God, what is it you want me to learn from this? What do you want me to do from this? And that's a hard question. And he says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. Say, God, help me know what you want me to do. How do you want me to respond? And we all know people that have gone through some incredible things, and we've seen them respond, and we go, wow, boy, are they trusting God. Boy, wow. So how do we respond when the trial comes? Consider it joy. Be patient. Let the trial do what it's supposed to do. And ask for wisdom. Not why, but what. So this morning, I'm going to open it for questions just for a second because time is almost up. But why do we have trials? So we'll trust God and we can grow as a Christian. What's our response? Count it joy. Let the trial do what it's supposed to do. Ask for wisdom. There's a guy by the name of Phillips. There's a Phillips translation. His name was J.B. Phillips, and he did a translation. And what he does is he just tries to put it in the language that flows and people can understand it. This little passage right here, this is how J.B. Phillips translates it. Listen to what it says. It says, when all kind of trials crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. They have come to test your endurance. Let the process go on until the endurance is fully developed, and you will find that you have become men and women of mature character. That's pretty good. I'd say stay with the, word for word translations, but that's okay to read those every now and then because that sounds pretty good. And so when a trial comes, count it joy. Let the trial do what it's supposed to do. Ask for wisdom. Because we know that the trial is causing us, is planned so that we will trust Him and so that we'll grow. Let's pray and we'll open up for any questions or comments or input. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we have to say thank you for trials and problems and ups and downs as we go through life. We know, Lord, that you love us beyond what we could imagine. And so you allow things like this to come into our lives so that we can trust you. And so, Lord, I just pray for myself and for each one in the room that when a trial comes, that we will trust you, knowing that the plan is that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus. And so that we would trust you and that we'd grow and we would let the thing do what it's supposed to do so that we'll be complete and mature. And then, Lord, that when the trial comes, not only do we trust you and grow, but we want to count it joy. We want to let the trial do what it's supposed to do. We want to continue to trust you. And then we might ask, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to grow from this? What do you want us to learn? Lord, thank you that you love us beyond what we could imagine. And anything that you bring into our life is really ultimately for our good, even though it doesn't always seem that way. Lord, thank you that we can consider it joy when we have the trials, know that it produces endurance, knowing that it makes us complete. So if we lack wisdom, may we ask of you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, any questions, comments? Does any bell ring yet? Oh, man, that's amazing. Okay, yeah, Gary.
This may be to the extreme, but last week, Sean Hannity said that he received a lot of calls, and he had Franklin Graham on his program to answer with this tsunami that they have. Where is a loving God in all of this? And I would guess the world wonders.
Well, to me, that is when you have a catastrophe in the world, when you have trials, when you have death, when you have all these, what some people would call a natural disaster, you say, where is God? Well, God is in everything, all things. You know, He has allowed our world to be a fallen world. We know that from the fall of man, the world itself was cursed from that. And there are things that don't work right. There are people who are born with defects. There are people who die. There are people who, there are catastrophes. God is still the sovereign ruler of all things. And, I can't answer the question on why He would allow that. I can say in my own life, why would He allow something like that? Well, it makes me say, I'm going to have to trust God because I don't understand that and I want to grow. And the people who are involved in that, I don't know. I mean, we know that there are people who lost family and all of those. And it may, we never know. We know that all things work together for our good, those that love God. It could be that there are some people, because of that event, will believe in Jesus Christ. I just don't know. I know that that's one of the most horrible things that could ever happen. That many people die at one time over something like that. Just an incredible thing. Here's the thing. More than that, people die every day. Just die. And we don't always stop and think about, here's all these people dying every day all over the world. And are we saying, what about Christ? What do they know? What do they believe? And we do think about it in a tragedy. So when people say, why would God allow that? I'd say, God is a sovereign God who works all things according to the counsel of His will. I don't understand the question of why. I know that He does it so that people trust Him and that people might grow. But I don't have the answer on that. And I don't know if anybody does. Well, the standard answer, of course, is that God is a sovereign God, and that then there are some people. Let me just throw this out real quickly. There's some people who look at it in two ways. One say, God didn't do that. Oh, that's the devil. The devil did all that. God would never do that. Then you mean the devil operates separately from God, and the devil does his own thing, and God's just going, I can't stop him. No, God's in control. God is the sovereign one. He allows everything. Now, God is not the author of evil, but He allows us to operate and live in a fallen world in which there are storms, in which there are earthquakes. We live in a fallen world, and that's the world that He's allowed, and that world is because of sin. That's the way it is, because of the fall of man. So one view is that the devil's in control, basically, of all evil, and God's just kind of going, oh, I don't want that to happen. No, I think God's in sovereign control of all things, and He loves us beyond what we can imagine. I don't know if we've got answers to that, but that's a good question. On what most would say, God's sovereign, and He loves us. We just don't understand. Y'all going to go drive the buggy? Yeah. What else? Anything else? Yeah, Rick. Okay, that's a good point. He says all trials, somebody thinks that every time you have something bad happen to you, it's a trial, it's discipline for sin. Not necessarily, of course. There's sometimes, according to Hebrews, he says, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every child He receives. In that passage, when it says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens, the word chasten doesn't mean that you did something wrong. It's really the word that means to train up. And then the word scourge does mean almost a punishment. Sometimes in our lives, things may happen to us which are consequences to sin. sin. Could be. But just because something bad happens to you does not necessarily mean, in fact, probably not most of the time, is it because of sin. And a lot of people did. James right here doesn't say it's because of your sin. He says, count it all joy, because the trial, the purpose of the trial is not to discipline you for your sin. It's to cause you to trust Him and to grow. So that's how I would answer that. And there are some times in our lives, if you look at, I did a study in Sunday school about 2 years ago, but if you look at when trials happen, what are some purposes of trials? If you look at John chapter 9, one of the purposes that the man was born blind, if you remember in John chapter 9, man born blind, the disciples asked Jesus, why is that man born blind? Who sinned, him or his parents? And Jesus said, nobody sinned. He was born blind for the glory of God. Sometimes trials happen so God gets glory. Sometimes trials happen to help us grow. Sometimes trial happens as discipline for sin. Sometimes trials happen, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, that when trials happen, you get comforted by God, and then you are able to comfort others when they go through the same kind of trial. So I think there are a number of reasons why we have trials. There's two Greek words, and both of them could be used either way, but one of them sometimes is translated trial, sometimes they're translated temptation, but the same word can be translated either way, and you have to look at it in its context to see what he's talking about. Okay, so if somebody says, well, that means, you know, that's wrong because you've sinned, that not necessarily. I don't know if we're gonna, do we have any bells yet? We're way over time. I don't think we're gonna have bells today. Hey, no bells. Let's just keep going. No, that's done. Thanks for coming. Thanks. We'll get something. Turn those sheets in so we'll know what to study for next time, okay? Thanks.